see, when we look at this, the rapture, the tribulation, the second coming, the millennial reign, it's all about love. God's love for his children, the rapture. God's love for Israel, the tribulation. The reason I believe we won't be here during the tribulation, because it is the last week that he gets to show his love for Israel, and he pours out his love. He raises up 144,000 witnesses. He brings the two witnesses full of power and demonstration so that Israel can repent and lead the charge in the world for missionaries and missions and for a revival. I can't imagine what a revival with 144,000 guys who know the Old Testament like the back of their hands is going to be like. And now have a revelation of Jesus. Woo, glory. I almost want to stick around just so I could watch it. But I'm going to leave with you guys, okay? Because God hasn't appointed us to wrath. He catches us away. And really, if you were still here, you would pray and you'd keep the wrath of God and you'd keep the wrath of the devil from completely doing what it was supposed to do, which has caused people to turn to Jesus as the Messiah. It's the whole purpose of it. It's the whole reason. And God's love for the world, the second coming of Christ. You know, in Matthew 24, 21, and 22 there, it literally says that if he did not come, that we would, that the world would be destroyed and would no longer exist. And the reason he comes back is because it's his great love for this world, this great love for this planet. His great love brings him back and keeps him from just destroying it. Such as the world has not seen since the beginning of the world, this no nor ever shall be. And when we think about this great tribulation, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Every person would die. Of course, two-thirds, anywhere from a quarter to a half to two-thirds of the population of the world dies during the tribulation. Think about that. Half the planet is covered in charred. The other half is full of death and all the sea creatures and all the, especially in the Great Tribulation when the seven bowls are poured out. When Jesus comes back for this earth, it is wounded, it is damaged, and it is charred. But he comes back for great love, and then the millennial reign is of his great love for his kingdom, and he restores everything that's here. Begins to bring that restoration for 1,000 years, and it takes 1,000 years to restore this place back to what it's supposed to be. Takes 1,000 years. Look at Revelations 19, 7 and 9 on your handout. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. The body of Christ is the bride of Christ. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. That's you and me. The things we do for him and in his name. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. See, when Jesus comes back, there's many scholars believe there's a gap between him coming back in the beginning of the millennial reign. And during that time, as he sets up his kingdom, he hands out assignments to you and me, and everything is set up. There's the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the Jewish marriage supper of the Lamb, he comes and he gets his bride, but then he goes away and prepares a place. And then lastly, they come and they have this marriage feast as they enter into their marriage. And that's exactly... Jesus has left the earth. He's left us here. He has left, and he's gone to prepare a place for you. John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to bring you back. I've got a really good friend who's really a scholar in the end times, and he really believes we'll be living in heaven in our mansions and going back and forth. I don't know. There's a lot of theories there. That's conjecture, folks. But this I do know. He's going to receive us back. And there's going to be a feast. There's going to be a reward. There's going to be a time of celebration. Jesus is going to be in Jerusalem, and we're going to be there with him, setting up his kingdom reign, and we're going to reign side by side with him. Matter of fact, depending on what you've done on this earth with your salvation and with your assignments and everything he's given you to do, you're going to have an opportunity to serve and to reign and direct and administrate and to help restore this planet, to help restore the people that are here. In Revelations 19 and 20, Revelations 19, the second coming of Christ. Revelations 20 is the millennial kingdom. And the second coming lays the foundation for the millennial kingdom. Jesus has to come back. He splits the Mount of Olives. There's a river that runs from the throne, a river of life. Healing for the nations, restores everything. And then, now the millennial reign of Christ sets up, but you're not going to be on a cloud playing a harp. And I don't believe you're going to be playing Augusta every single day, over and over again, or skiing, as I would, the back bowls of Vail in Colorado. No, you're going to be reigning and ruling, and you're going to have responsibilities, and you're going to have a part to play for 1,000 years in the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the way it was supposed to be from the very get-go. Satan will be bound. He'll be in the pit. There'll be no sickness. There'll be no disease. There'll be no pain. Poverty or lack, there will be abundance, but there'll be a lot to do. In Revelations 20 and 6, talking about the millennial kingdom, he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent old, who is the devil, Satan, and he bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss. He shut it and he sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the deceiver and the isolator of the nations. Satan's biggest key is he tries to deceive you, and if he can't deceive you, he'll isolate you. But he's bound. He will no longer deceive the nations for 1,000 years. And these things he must be released for a short time. Uh-oh. Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. Or probably a better word for judgment is responsibility and authority was given to them. Responsibility and authority was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshiped the beast or his image, had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but the priest of God and of Christ will reign with him for 1,000 years. Get this. Get the love of God. During the millennial reign, there will be millennial saints, tribulation saints, who will get to live in the millennium. But when they're dead, remember, we're up in heaven, right? Many believe that's when the judgment seat of Christ and will be this preparing and some things going on. But we're saints. We've been raptured. We've been caught up. They endure, and then they're beheaded, they're slaughtered, they're martyred. The Antichrist during the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years, he just goes crazy and begins to slaughter Jews and slaughter Christians by the millions. But during, as Jesus steps down, then he brings them and he raises them. And they'll be raised up. And they reign and they rule at the throne of God, praising him and giving glory. This mass white robe and palm leaf are these tribulation saints who are praising God at all times in Jerusalem, in the kingdom. But then you and I, we're busy. We're worshiping. We're keeping the We're keeping the feast and doing certain things as the Spirit of God directs. And then a picture of the millennial looks like this on the back of your page, Isaiah 65, 18 through 25. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem for rejoicing and her people for gladness. This is Jesus in Jerusalem. I will also rejoice in Jerusalem. He's not rejoicing over Jerusalem. He's rejoicing in Jerusalem. It's got a dual passage here. I rejoice over, but I rejoice in. And there'll be saints all throughout Jerusalem giving God glory, giving Jesus glory. The kingdom reigns. I will rejoice in Jerusalem. My people will be glad, and there will no longer be heard in her the voice of weeping and the sound of crying. No longer will there be an infant who lives but a few days or an old man who does not live out his days. People are going to live a long time. Now, everybody look at this part. It's very important to realize there are going to be people, you know, at the end times, the ones that come against Jesus with the Antichrist and with the false prophet, they're going to be obliterated just like that. And they will go to hell. But the saints who are still alive, guess what? They stay alive in their mortal bodies throughout the millennial reign. Hello? And they'll be part of the ones who are rebuilding and reclaiming and restoring. Can you imagine what technology will be like then when Jesus is on the throne? Can you imagine what restoration will be like when Jesus is on the throne? Can you imagine what it'll be like when Jesus is ahead of the economy, the government, and the church? Amen. Folks, I'm here to tell you, there's not going to be any elections. Thank God. There won't be any divisions among us. Hallelujah. There'll be unity and harmony and worship at the throne, and we'll get our marching orders. For the youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought accursed. They will build houses and inhabit them. They will plant vineyards, and the fruit they'll eat of it. They will not build and another inhabit. They will not plant and another eat. See, that's what happened with Israel in the first place. That's what happened at Jerusalem the first time. But this time, that's not going to happen. The devil's not there to mess it up. There's not a bunch of lost souls to mess it up. For as the lifetime of a tree, so will be the days of my people. They'll live long lives. And my chosen ones will wear out their work of their hands. They will not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they are the offspring of those blessed by the Lord. And their descendants with them. It will also come to pass before they call, I will answer, and they are still speaking, I will hear. Get this, verse 25. The wolf and the lamb will graze together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, and dust will be the serpent's food, and they will know evil or harm in all of my holy mountains, says the Lord. Can you say vegetarians? Lion, oh, they're vegetarians, man, during the millennial reign. Believers will reign with him during the millennial reign. I want to really look at these scriptures real quick. But in 2 Timothy 2, 11 and 12, I don't have them written out because I want you to go look them up. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. We'll have responsibility. We'll have authority. We'll rule as an extension of the kingdom of God. And if we deny him, he also will deny us. 1 Corinthians 15, 24, 26 through 26. It's a typo. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, and we shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he have put all the enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. He will reign and he will rule in the millennial reign, but there is still one more death that has to come. The second death. There's that second resurrection and that final death as they're thrown into the lake of fire. And then Revelation 3:21-22, I love this one. Revelation 3:21-22, to him that overcometh. Everybody say, I'm an overcomer. We're going to talk a little bit about what that means in a minute. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as also I overcame. Jesus overcame temptation. Jesus overcame everything the devil threw at him. Jesus overcame, and he sat down with my Father in his throne, and you and I will sit down with them in his throne with authority, responsibility, and the right to rule and the right to manage. The overcomer will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. See, in Matthew 25:14-30 is, I believe, a picture of the judgment seat of Christ. It's a picture of the of everything that has happened in the fact that from the resurrection, Jesus gave to the church, gave us responsibility, gave us authority. He gave us the great commandment and the great commission, and he said, go rule and reign in my stead. The great commandment, love one another even as I've loved you. Love God, love others. The great commission, go reach them, teach them, and empower them. And then he comes back, and at the judgment seat of Christ, every single person in this room is going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ. It's a solo moment. It's an individual moment. And what you do on this side will determine what happens there at the judgment seat of Christ. Because it's a place of rewards, not a place of punishment. I was not saved by works. I was saved by grace, but I was saved to do good works. And all of a sudden, our works. When I look here in Matthew 25, I'm going to read a couple of scriptures. And when you go back over here to Matthew 25, and like I said, I believe this is a picture of the judgment seat of Christ, the reward seat of Christ. But notice there are two types of people who get to the seat. There's the ones who are, well done, my good and faithful servant. And there's another one who didn't do so well. And they'll be weeping and gnashing their teeth because they'll miss out on their reward. You don't hear that preached a lot, do you? But in Matthew 25, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler. I will give you responsibility. I will give you authority over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Whew, isn't that good? Man, that keeps you motivated, doesn't it? That keeps you looking towards Easter Sunday, doesn't it? That keeps you going, you know, I'm going to love people and I'm going to reach people. I'm going to feel the great commandment. I'm going to walk in love. If they spit on me, I'm not going to spit back. If they're ugly to me, I'm not going to be ugly. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to love my husband. I'm going to love my kids. I'm going to love people. And the way you love people is you lay down your life for them. You lay down what you want to do and what you want to say and my rights and my privileges, and you put them first. But also love speaks the truth and tells people, hey, you're going in the wrong direction. Love is not all kisses and roses and petals. No, it's, you know what, if you keep doing that, it's going to kill your body. Poor cigarette. Fire on one end, fool on the other. Poor, poor cigarette. Speak the truth in love. Tell people the truth. The two seats, the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:12-15. Love this. 1 Corinthians 3:12-15. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. See, precious stones endure the fire. Wood, hay, and stubble gets burned up. Can you say bonfire? There may be a weenie roast at some point. Can you say s'mores? Every man's work shall be made manifested. Everybody say this, my works will be manifest. Now, I don't think you're going to be in heaven and there's a big screen showing all the stuff you didn't do. No, no, I think it's a very private moment, a very intimate moment. For they shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, my work, of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he have built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. If any man's work shall be burned, my plan, my will, my desires, my anger, my pride will be burned. He shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. They'll be saved, but yet it's by fire. Revelation 3, 21 and 22. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the deeds, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. The death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. That's the great white throne of judgment at the end of the millennial reign. At the very end of time, they're judged because their names are not in the book of life. It is a judgment that brings punishment and various degrees of punishment, where ours is a judgment of reward and brings reward and brings benefits and opportunities during the millennial reign. You know, when I look at this and I look at everything going on, for we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he has done, whether it be good or bad. So let me close with this as we ask the musicians to come back up, as we put some music on and get us into this place of worship. I think this is one of the most important statements I can make, and I've made in a while. What happens on this side of eternity matters on the other side of eternity. What I do on this side matters on the other side. One, the great commandment, do I grow in love? Am I loving God? Am I loving others? It doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means that you're growing in love. You're growing in patience. You're growing in kindness. You're laying your life down for others. You're just growing. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm growing. Look at your other neighbor and say, how about you? My second choice. My friend, my second choice. Great Commission. Did you reach the lost? Did you disciple people? Did you empower somebody to reach their destiny in Jesus? And did you, like Jesus, overcome the devil, the world, and the flesh? Did you overcome temptation? Not if you were perfect. No. Not if you never sinned. No. But did you overcome?